Okay, good morning. Good morning.
Hey.
At least pretend like you're listening. Okay, hi, my name is Stephen Dawson, as has already been said, and I have the wonderful privilege of being on staff for Church of Christ the King. I've actually been on staff for almost 8 years.
Wow.
And I originally was asked on staff to look after the children and youth work, and then I was going to leave staff and go back to working in a normal job, as it were, and then the team of elders asked me to stay on and become an elder, and also to begin in this site. This site's been going for almost 4 years.
Wow.
You can believe it, there you are. I'm saying, is that right? It is right. Almost 4 years. Where did that time go, hey? But it's been a great journey, and we've got much further to go in God. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited about speaking to you this morning as well. This morning is going to be a little bit different to how it's been if you've been the last few weeks. We've been currently, as a church, going through a series in Proverbs, which is a book in the Bible, about wisdom given from kind of a father to a son type figure, but stuff in it for all of us to learn. And we've been looking at different kind of people that the Proverbs addresses, and I'll mention it in a bit later. But we're going to take just a brief break from that this week, and this week is all about me. And aren't you blessed? No, it's not. This is all about Jesus, but it's actually all about what Jesus has been speaking to me about. Because actually, I've had a brief break from this site, and actually from being on staff. It's great. As after 7 years as a ministry member of staff, I got given a six-week break on top of my normal annual leave. And that was just for me to go away, spend some extended time with God, go and spend some time with some other church leaders and ministry leaders, and spend some time praying, seeking God, doing some study, visiting some other churches, as well as getting some just time with my family, time to kick back, rest, and relax. And it's just, I think it's a good thing for a church to do. I would say that because I work for a church. But I know I've benefited when other church leaders have done that. We want to bless those who lead us and be a blessing to them. And I just want to say I have been very blessed. And I don't know, I've come back very refreshed and recharged and re-energized and ready to go again. I'm hoping that's going to be a blessing to you as well. And so, you didn't notice I was gone. That's even better. But the great thing is you probably didn't notice I was gone, because I left the site in very, very safe hands, didn't I? So our services were led by Paul and Nate Dawson. Paul and Nate Dawson. Nate was always going to be the loudest, what can he do? I know I've done an excellent job leading and looking after you guys, particularly at the 9:30. And Doug and Laura Reed and John O'Melia have been hosting the second service, looking after the guys there as well. I've just done an excellent job in my absence. Just want to honour those guys. It means that I've been able to go away and rest and relax, not worry about our services. No, they're going to look after you well. And the great thing is I'm back, and they're just going to continue to do what they've done and give me space to continue to work with others and build things. No, these guys are trusted members of the leadership team. But they're not the only ones who looked after the thing. The person who looked after it the most was, of course, Bill Bigwood. And Bill is the other elder at our site, and he is a wonderful man of God who is diligent to the nth degree, who dots I's and crosses T's, and does it with a wonderful love for God and a wonderful love for you, and has a great care and compassion for you. And I'll tell you what, now this guy was in place, who's not on staff, who also has to look after his family, also has to hold down a company, he does a great job. And I just want to honour this guy, who is a magnificent. So Bill Gritz. Absolute legend, and we love him, and he's great. But of course, he's only one half of a great team, and he would have to do anything without the wonderful love and support and a dig in the ribs occasionally as well. For the wonderful Sharon Bigwood. I love honouring people. You know, there's some people who like to be honoured, and they're like, thank you so much. But I like honouring people who don't like to be honoured. It's just a bit more fun, isn't it? Because I'm like, oh, please stop. So you can have a bit longer, yell a bit louder. Anyway, these guys are wonderful. I just want to honour them. They're great. But yeah, but while I was away, God spoke to me about a great many things. And I just thought the team in my absence knew there was going to be a break in the series this week. And they decided in my absence that it would be great for me to come back and maybe just share some of the things that God has been speaking to me about, which on a lot of levels are very personal, things that God has spoken for me. And I've just tried to pick just a few of them just to speak about this morning, just to give you a bit of flavour of where I've been and what God's been speaking to me about. And I hope would be a real blessing to you, whether you've been a Christian for many years or maybe you're not a Christian yet. Hopefully some of the things that I've got to say this morning you'll find very relevant and encouraging and maybe provoking as well. Let me pray and then we'll have a look. Is that okay? Dear God, we just want to thank you that you are here with us right now. Lord, I thank you that you're here with us on Sunday mornings. You hear us during our busy weeks, Lord God. I thank you you're there when we give you our full attention, and you're there when we fail to give you any attention at all, Lord God. Thank you you're ever present, Lord God. And we want to ask right now that as we look at your word and look at who you are, Lord God, that you would speak to each and every one of us. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you help to open our ears and soften our hearts, Lord God. I pray we would just hear it physically, Lord God, but there would be a sense where our hearts are open to what you would really want to say to us this morning, Lord God. I pray where we're distracted by the other things that are going on in our lives, Lord. I know even in this room there's people who are going through great heartache right now, Lord God. I just pray we just come and bring your peace, Lord God. And would your word minister to each and every one of us, I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to share three things. I'll try to get down to three things. Now, the reality is I'm going to cram some other stuff within those points and shoehorn other things in. We're going to rate three things, and they may flow or they may not flow. That's okay. I'm just trusting that God will say what he wants to say. And the first point, in case you're making notes so you want to follow in that way, is that I want to encourage you to learn from other people's journeys. And this isn't a new lesson that I learned on sabbatical, but it was one thing that I actively try to do while I was away. And it's also a way for me to say you should learn from my journey while I'm away as well. So during my sabbatical, I had 2 weeks in the UK, and I went various places, got a lot of time kind of going off to nice places in East Sussex, and going to coffee shops, and going for long walks and praying, and seeing other various leaders and stuff like that. Then I spent 2 weeks. It was probably the hardest 2 weeks of my life. It was really terrible. I had to go on my motorbike around Europe to some beautiful places and eat some lovely food. And it was hard work. And I did it all for you. No, it was a blessed time, let me tell you. But it was 2 weeks and it was great. And again, I didn't go with anyone. Two people who might have come with me bailed on me, but I still love you, Andy and Ryan. But I just enjoyed open roads and beautiful scenery and time ago. It was wonderful. And then I had 2 weeks back in the UK again, just to do much of the same I did the first 2 weeks, just getting time with God and spending time with family and things like that as well. In all of that, I was never alone, really. Some people said to me, how are you going to manage 2 weeks without other people's company? You are a raving extrovert. You are going to be lonely and isolated, all that stuff. I said to them, I've also begun to become a little bit worried. How am I going to cope by myself? Reality, it was bliss. I have 6 children, in case you don't know me. And I have a busy life, and having some peace and quiet and no one for the first week was lovely. I have to confess, the second week I did begin to miss people a little bit, particularly my wife and my children, but it was great just to get some silence and quiet. But in that, actually, I spent time with loads of people. I spent time with Jackie Pullinger and Simon Gilbo and Artie Kendall and Michael Eaton and Brendan Manning and Bill Hybels and Guy Martin and Ken Follett and lots of other people, because I took some books and listened to some podcasts, and these people kept me company. I spent lots of time listening to other people, listening to their lives, listening to their stories. All those people I just mentioned have either written a book or were on a podcast. Some of them Christians, some of them non-Christians. And I had a wonderful time just learning from their journeys. And I'm just going to pick up on two particular ones. The first one is Jackie Pullinger. Anyone know what Jackie Pullinger is? Yeah. Great, lots of you do. But Jackie Pullinger is a woman who very courageously, kind of in her late teens, decides to get on a ship and go to Hong Kong. She got a call or two, and she just take a little bit of money and some youthful enthusiasm and a love for Jesus, and said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And lands in Hong Kong, and God led it into a wonderful work amongst drug addicts and drug dealers, prostitutes and pimps, and gangsters in just the most run-down, awful place in Hong Kong. And over a couple of decades, saw a miraculous work of God established there. She saw people get free from drugs, free from destructive lifestyles, and set on a road towards Jesus. And I actually read this before my sabbatical started. I actually read it on holiday when I was in Spain with my family. And it totally messed me up. And I've read bits of the book over parts of my life. This is the first time I've read it cover to cover. And I meant to be relaxing by the pool in Spain, but it just went round and round in my mind. This woman who is so believed in God, so loved God that she couldn't help but follow him with her whole life. And just did courageous things as a young woman going to dangerous situations, going to very unlovely people and showing them the love of Jesus. And her pattern really would be just to each day, day by day, God, who is it you would lead me to today? And she would just pray, and God would just open doors for her to speak to people. And one thing I just love about this little thing is that she would listen to someone's situation, say, you know what, Jesus once spoke to someone like you. And she would just put out a story of Jesus dealing to different people and just apply it to different ones' lives. And it was just wonderful and so stirring to me. I was like, God, I want to be like that. And there's times where I've fervently sought you in those ways, but I want my whole life to be like that. And Jackie did that for a couple of decades. That's what the span of the book is. But the reality is she's still there, still doing a wonderful work for God, doing miraculous things. I was like, God, I want to be more like that. I want to learn from this lady's journey. And God, in his mercy, didn't just write a book to us. He wrote the Bible. He didn't just write a book of philosophy and problems for us to learn. Actually, he wrote down stories of real people and real lives. I've not opened it yet, I realise that. But I've just had a great time just reading about real men and women in the Bible and in recent years who have had dealings with God. And as you read about Moses and Gideon and Joshua and David and Peter and Paul and Ruth and character after character after character, you read about how God deals with people. And you realize those people are just like us. In lots of ways, they're not really special. They're just normal people who have an extraordinary God who does extraordinary things through normal lives. And it's faith building. So actually, you know, Jackie, she was just an ordinary person. She's no one special in that sense. But she's just someone who decided to say, God, you can have all of my life. And I was just so still like, God, that's what I want my journey to be. I don't want to be, Jackie, you're not telling me to go to Hong Kong, but you are telling me to follow you day by day and to listen and stay close to you. So she's one of the stories that just really impacted me and has impacted the way that I've begun to pray back here, because she really was a woman of prayer. She faced obstacles. Like, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this issue in my life? How do I help this person through? She's like, I don't know how to do it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the one who knows. I'm going to go and pray. And she persisted in prayer. And it's just people I've just chosen in my life. You know what? I'm just going to surround them in prayer because I don't know how to take them forward to the next step. I don't know how to help them break out of a cycle in their life. You know what? I'm just going to pray for them. And that's been a new resolve for me. In one sense, just a refreshing of that resolve. I've said it to Jesus many times, but just saying again, God, let my life be like that. After that, I decided I wanted to read another autobiography. And I picked up a book by a guy called Simon Gilbert. Anyone heard of him? Few people. Simon Gilbert is a guy that I've met through the New Day event that was mentioned earlier. He's a guy that spoke a few years ago, and he is a pretty radical dude by all accounts. He's a guy who, again, in his kind of, I think it's in the early 20s, he just felt a call by God to go to Burundi in sub-Saharan Africa, to what is a very broken country politically and socially, and just to go there and help kind of some of the missionary effort that was there, churches and Christians there, trying to bring the love of Jesus into very difficult situations, into life-threatening and very dangerous situations as well. So I read his book, and his book, again, really is very, it's kind of, it is his story, but also it's a kind of a, it teaches the world about what it is to be a radical disciple, to give everything over to living for God. Again, out of understanding of all that God's done for him. It wasn't just a, do this, do this, do this. It was a, look what God has done for me. How can I not just follow him? The song we just sung, I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned, is saying because of what God has done, because what I've done. And it's not just arms up and heart abandoned, it's also about a life that's lived for him. So again, a guy who's radical for Jesus, again, just stirred by lots of things in his book, And the way he articulates things very really resonated with things that God has spoken to me about over many years. And I decided, I wonder if Simon's around, because I know he's in the UK from time to time. I happened, he was in the UK in the first kind of week of my sabbatical, so I got hold of him and said, hey dude, would you mind, we'd be up for meeting up? He said, sure thing, why not? So I spent the morning with him and had lunch with him. I just got to talk about some of the themes in his book, got to talk to him about you lot. And we got to pray together and again pray for you as well, what was going on here. And he was so loving and so gracious and lots to talk to me about, the reality is the guy just listened and just prayed and prophesied over me and over you guys. And it was a real blessing to be with that man of God, a great connection there. And you never know, I think he may end up turning up here one day and speaking to you. I'd love you guys to have a bit of exposure to him as well. He will blow your socks off. But yeah, so let me encourage you. I've learned from people's journeys what I've had time about. I want to encourage you to do the same. And this is actually something I've tried to do throughout my time at CCK, actually. The first year I came to CCK, I had a habit of asking people two questions. How did you come to know Jesus? There's people you've known for a long time, and you don't know the answer to that question. You know, you ask that question, it will build your faith. You're like, wow, God did that in your life, or God set up in your life so you would come to know him. Another good question to ask is, what's Jesus done in your life recently? What's he spoken to you about recently? People say, oh, we don't ask each other that enough. But you know how it builds faith? Oh, God's saying that to you? Fantastic. God's saying that in your life? Fantastic. It builds your faith, renews your hope in the fact that God is a God who's close and loves to work in our life. So, learn from other people's stories. Okay, that's number one. Number two, God has an inheritance for all of us. If you are a Christ follower, he has an inheritance for you to take hold of. And I looked into this while I was away, particularly looking at the book of 1 Peter and also looking at the Sermon of the Mount, really digging into both of these kind of sections of the Bible. The Sermon of the Mount is a sermon that Jesus gives, quite a famous one, and found in the chapters of Matthew and in Luke, Matthew kind of 5 to 7, and Luke somewhere else. And he just speaks. And in it, you find this wonderful theme of God's inheritance for those who are in his family. And is what God wants to give you within salvation as you consistently follow him in steps of faith. Okay, so it's within salvation. Now, inheritance isn't salvation. Salvation stands alone by itself. When we are saved and into God's family, that is done and given to us and cannot be taken away. And you don't need to do anything to get hold of that. Jesus has done everything perfectly at the cross for that. And when you're a Christian, you're forgiven. Your sins are done away with. And your hope is now in him forever. But the Bible then speaks about an inheritance for his saints. For those who come into that family. Other things for us to take hold of. Things that he's mapped out for you to walk into as you follow him in faith. We see this clearly right throughout the Bible, as well as in these particular passages. We see it as a theme right throughout the Bible. We see it right at the beginning in the story of Exodus, and particularly in the book of Joshua, that God has saved his people who are slaves in Egypt. He's brought them out, and that work is done. They were slaves, but now they are free. They are now called the people of God, and he's given them this special covenant with them. But he's also said, but I've got an inheritance for you to walk into. Things for you to take hold of. For you to go into the promised land, and this bit's for you, and this bit's for you, and this bit's for you, and you're to walk in and take it. And how do they take it? Well, they take it by force. There's things for them to do, to trust in God. There's swords for them to wield. There's people for them to fight. And that's true for us. There's things for us to now take hold of in our Christian life. Actually, we can all, at the end of our life, will say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me into eternal rest in the new heavens and new earth. But there is actually a warning for us. And we can live a life where we don't take hold of everything that God has for us. We can miss some of the stuff that God has for us. Not miss the utterly important bit, but miss some of the other blessings besides. Things for us to enjoy in this life and things for us to enjoy in the next. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says this. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. That's that kind of that warning that says, hey, you know what?
walk into rest, but make sure you've built something in this life that will last. Make sure you've walked into your inheritance. And as I've been listening to R.T. Kendall, who's a famous preacher, used to be at Westminster Chapel, and Michael Eaton, who has actually preached at CCK a couple of times, these guys were speaking on these passages and listening to them and reading some books on it as well. And they made this kind of difference between our external inheritance and our internal inheritance. Okay, external and internal. And our external inheritance is what you end up doing, like your calling in life, some of the things that kind of you externally see, as it were. So in my mid-teens, which is now 20 years ago, did you know that Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill came out 20 years ago? Yeah. I'm just saying something that was my blog. I found that just anyway. Obviously lost on you. Okay. But 20 years ago, I couldn't imagine that. I thought maybe I'd probably been married, but I probably didn't think I was going to have 6 kids. And I didn't know that by this point in my life I was going to be in ministry for 8 years. I was going to live in Brighton. Those are external things that God has blessed me with and given me and things for me to enjoy. There's other things that God gives us. Maybe we become a tradesman. Maybe we become a teacher or a nurse. Maybe we live in different places and involved in different areas of ministry, different types of family. These things are external inheritance. And there are many who would say that they need to know what their external inheritance is now. Should I get married? Should I go on this holiday? Should I apply for this job? Do you know, every good gift is from God. And all of this is part of his external inheritance. But we're not to make those things the focus of our attention. We're not to focus upon our externals, upon the external things that God wants to give us. We're to focus on God himself. And focus on actually the internal inheritance that he wants to talk to us about. And this is kind of talked about all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, but perfectly summed up in Matthew 6:33. It says this, just in one verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus and the whole Bible encourage us, seek first God. God is interested in your family relationships. He is interested in your work and your ministry and the other things that are in your life. They're good things that God wants to speak to you about and talk about and give you. But he said, don't seek those things. Seek me and those things will be added to you as well. So don't ask, what is my external inheritance? But what is my internal inheritance? This internal inheritance is what Jesus speaks about in the Sermon on the Mount. In the early chapters of Matthew, where he refers to the kingdom of heaven. And if you go through your Bible, and mine it's written in red, sometimes I do that. And you just look at the titles and the different sections during the sermon. It's amazing. It talks about things that were law, things that were very kind of external things. But God, Jesus changed it into, no, this is about your heart. As it starts with the Beatitudes, they're blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those when people insult you. These are heart things. These are heart attitudes. Then he talks about being salt and light. He talks about murder. He doesn't say don't just murder. He said don't even look at people hatefully. He takes away his law, but says, no, it's not just about what you do. It's about where your heart is. He talks about adultery. Not just about sexual relationships, but even your eyes, where you look, are you lustful? Talks about oaths. He talks about no longer taking eye for eye, but loving your enemies. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about prayer and fasting. He talks about storing up treasures in eternity rather than just being about the now. He talks about do not worry, but trusting in God. He talks about not judging others. He talks about being persistent in prayer as well. It talks about the fact that the Christian life is about suffering and it's narrow at times. It's not the easy way. Talks about being fruitful. Talks about building your life upon Jesus and seeking him first. These are all the internal stuff that God is much more concerned about than the external things. Early this year, I was talking to Joel, who's one of our other elders. Actually, he's kind of my boss. And I was just talking to him and saying, Joel, I feel like God, in this year, looking forward to my sabbatical, is loosening my grip on Brighton. I said, I feel like he's loosening my grip on the site a little bit. I said, I've loved it as much as ever, but I suddenly feel like it's not mine. And I know it isn't mine, I know it's Jesus's, but maybe
it's time for me to maybe pass it on. Maybe God's going to shut the door on this chapter of my life and open up another one. And I'm going on sabbatical. I already planned where I was going to go. I know I was going to go to Barcelona twice during that time. I'm thinking, I do love Barcelona. If God called me there, I'd be gone in a shot. I love it. And I was just like, God, feel free, Barcelona. And it made me that God will one day. But I thought, I'm going to sabbatical. God, is there someone I'm going to visit? Or someone I'm going to meet? And is there going to be a door that's open? And I was just like, God, I'm really not just open, but eager for you to speak about this. Because I want to be in the place that you want me to be. So I found that God was loosening my grip on this place and this work here. And I was just now I could just great people to trust, like Paul and Nay and Doug and Laura, and John and Karen, Bill and Sharon, many people in this room as well. Great men and women who love Jesus and are building his church here wonderfully. And I thought, is it time, God, you're loosening my grip on this? And on the first day of sabbatical, I had a wonderful some coffee, some time in the Bible, just some reading, and then went for a walk and was praying. And I just felt God loosening my grip on the future as well. And I said, God was like, why are you so eager to know what's next? Stop trying to grip and grasp onto that. And I was like, yeah, but if I'm not gripping onto the sight and I'm not gripping onto that, what am I supposed to be gripping onto? Yeah, it's obvious to you lot. God was like, you're just a grip onto me. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, don't worry about that. I got that stuff covered. You're just a grip onto me. I want you to know I'm not going anywhere. Yay. I've come back. Woo! Yeah, that's nice. I've got to be like, oh, fine, you've got to go anywhere. No, I'm not going anywhere. God's not said anything. I'm having content to be here for the rest of my life and build here, and I love you people, and I love that God's not called me anywhere else just yet.
Still
work to be done, absolutely. There is. But God's just like, no, just grip hard on me. And you know what? You're right. That's so simple. I could have told you beforehand, hey, don't hold on to the things that you got right now, don't hold on to the future, grip onto God. But you know what? God's just done it to a new level for me. Just like, grip onto me, hold on to me. I'm much more concerned about where your heart is at. Much more concerned about the fruit that you're going to produce or the church that you're involved in building. Far more concerned about that than what's ahead of you. I'm concerned about where your heart is and where I'm taking you and how I'm going to make you more like Jesus. And I'm just like, wonderful. I'm so glad you did it on the first day. I really am. So I'm just like 6 weeks and saying, oh, great. I'm just going to you, God. I don't have to worry about that place. Yeah, I've prayed about it a little bit. But I really feel like, God, I'm just going to enjoy you. Enjoy what you're going to do in my own life and my heart. And I was talking to a young man last week, and he was the last couple of weeks, and he was talking to me about getting married and about a girl he liked, all that kind of stuff. And he was like, no, you know, who is it that God's got for me to marry? And I just thought it was a good example. He's like, who is the wife I will marry? And I said, that's not a question you should be asking. You want to be asking, who will my wife marry? Who's the man that you're going to become? What's the heart that God wants to change? What's the kind of husband that you want to be? You know, worry about that more. It's okay to pray about wives and husbands in the future if that's the stage of life that you're at. That's totally cool. Feel free to do that. But you know what? Make sure your focus is far more on, like, God, what do you want to do in my heart? What kind of spouse do you want to make me? You know what? If you're married, we can spend a lot of time saying, God, change my spouse. It's like, actually, God, change me to be the spouse that you want me to be. And that goes with all our relationships, actually. You know, we're so eager to change other people. Actually, God, who do you want me to be? So the last part of this kind of internal inheritance is about walking with the Spirit. And listening to R.T. Kendall on this is just beautiful and wonderful. He's a man, he's a preacher, who knows? He's kind of in his 70s now, late 70s, and he knows what it is to walk with the Spirit. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit when he left to go and be with his Father in heaven, to walk alongside us, to speak to us, and to teach us. And learning to walk with him is the best way to do this. And the Sermon on the Mount doesn't mention the Holy Spirit, but it's in there. You can't do any of these things Jesus talks about, like the Holy Spirit's empowering and his help. And so we are now under the Spirit of people of God. We're not under the law. So you read the Old Testament, there's always rituals and laws and things that we're going to do. We're not under that anymore. We're now under the Spirit. We're back to that covenant of the Spirit. And you know what? It's a greater covenant. It means that there's more for us to do, actually. When the Spirit speaks, we do crazy things like get on a boat to China and to Hong Kong, things like that. When the Spirit speaks, we suddenly do, we go up above and beyond what the Lord calls us to. Suddenly it's not murder. Suddenly we're not going to get angry with people.
in anger, we're not going to sin against people as we follow God and the Him speaking to us. It means there's some things that we don't do that were in the law. The law says we should get rid of all the Canaanites in the land. Let me encourage you, if you meet some Canaanites later today, please don't get rid of them out of the land. That would not be following the Spirit. And Michael Eaton says this: if you walk in the Spirit deliberately, you deliberately choose to follow Jesus and walk in the Spirit, you fulfill the law of God accidentally. As you follow the Spirit, suddenly the things in your life that need dealing with, who's aware of some stuff in their life that needs dealing with?
Always.
Always, amen. There's stuff in our life that needs dealing with. And sometimes we can so focus on that. And God said, no, you focus on me and I'll make sure we deal with that. We're not to ignore it, but we deal with it by focusing upon God and walking with the Spirit. You know what? There will never come a time when we follow God perfectly. Every single day, we're going to need the blood of Jesus to forgive us where we fall short. But it does not mean that we should not follow hard after God and do all that we can. So having been again convinced about God's desire to work in my life and on my life, the way work through it, I've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, enjoying some of the things that are said in it. How to handle trouble and suffering and mourning. What it is to be a peacemaker. To do with some of the things we've been learning about in Proverbs, about not gossiping and slandering. And to have this 6 weeks, I was like, you know, I haven't been so godly. I haven't slandered or gossiped anyone. I've not got angry. I've not, you know, no one's caused me to shout at them or bitterness in the heart. And you know why? Because I wasn't with anyone. But it was nice though, because I got some time to start, just reflect, actually, where's my heart? What kind of father I am? I did some great kind of heart searching. You know, what's the kind of dad I want to be? And you kind of set out on a parenting journey and think, it's the father of this parent I want to kind of be. And you have lots of kids and your kids change and stuff. It's something like you find yourself just trying to go from day to day, just trying to cope. And I'm just going to get some good time there. Actually, what's the kind of father I want to be? Just being back to my kids and saying, this is the kind of father I want to be. And just adjusting some of that. Also, kind of what kind of pastor, what kind of friend I want to be. How do I want to conduct myself as a person who uses lots of words? Making sure I want to use every word to honour God and honour other people. And I don't get it right at all. And I'm still working on it. But God's given me a greater sensitivity as I walk with the Holy Spirit. So things that I wouldn't have cared about before, I care about. I care about some of the things that come out of my mouth. I care about what comes out of other people's mouths as well. Do you know the Holy Spirit is sensitive? Artie Kenner calls him oversensitive, hypersensitive. Actually, when we do things in front of the Spirit, the Spirit is like a dove, it flees. Because it doesn't want to be around sin. Doesn't want to be around bitterness. Doesn't want to be around unforgiveness. Doesn't want to be around a coarse word or a lewd joke. Doesn't want to be around a bit of gossip or a bit of backbiting. Doesn't like that. And when you're walking with the Spirit, that starts taking hold of you as well. So it grieves you when you see it. And I was at work a couple of weeks ago and someone showed me a picture of someone. A picture had been taken of a group of people and it caught someone off guard. And this person had just, their face looked funny. And this person showed it to me and it just grieved me there. And then I was like, oh, you just really embarrassed that person. Like, there's no need for you to show me that. And you wouldn't, and I think if they'd been in the room and they'd share the joke, it almost would have been okay. But they weren't, and I thought this person's. And I just, they agreed me, and what I did is just kind of, I didn't join in. I just kind of nodded and walked away. I thought I should have said something. And the person who showed me would appreciate me saying, actually, don't do that. So it's great, but it seems so little, and I realize it just seems so petty. But just a sensitive, it's like, you know, God, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be just laughing at someone else's expense. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. It's not giving you glory, God. And so I get, you know, there's a sense where God's helped me to get it right. You know, I didn't deal with it perfectly necessarily, but I was like, God, thank you for let my conscience be soft enough to feel that, though. I honoured my friend Ben. Is Ben in the room? Is Ben in the room? This is Ben. Ben, who's one of the interns of the church, I honoured him at the 9:30 service a couple of weeks ago. And I said, oh, this is Ben. Blah, blah, blah. And at 11:30 service, I got him up and I honoured him to them as well. But I also took him down as well. I took the opportunity to mock the university that he went to. I know. And I just meant it in jest. And someone came up to me and said after me, Coach, you were trying to honour the guy, but then you mocked him. And I was like, yeah, I did. You know, it was the week about scoffing. This person, I'm so thankful this person just came to me and said, I just thought I'd just raise it. Do you know what I mean? I think they felt for Ben more than anything, but I was actually, Ben didn't care. They was like, what? Okay. But actually for me, I was like, oh, thank you, because I want to be sensitive to those things. I don't want to mock people. I mean, I don't mind having a joke with people and I don't mind mocking myself. There's something about self-depreciation that's actually quite a good thing, actually. But actually, I don't want to mock someone. I don't want to scoff thing. I definitely don't want to set that as the standard for our sight. I don't mind a bit of heckling, but let's not mock one another. Let's love each other. And you know, Ben's a great young man. I don't want to honor him, but he's got a great degree from a great university. I don't want a joke. I just want to go straight to the joke. Like, is it? No, it's not. What's that movie? That's a great university degree. And so, just about, but you know, I just appreciate that. I said, oh, you know, God, there's still some way to go. But I'm just pleased I'm on a journey with God in it. I want us to be a community of love. Do you know, that's the biggest demonstration to people outside of the church, is when they see us love one another and treat each other differently. We're not then to use this as a stick for each other's back. Oh, like, you mock that person and you scoff. That's not what it's going to be, but it's in our own hearts. Say, God, I want to be a man or woman of God who lives closely to the Spirit, who's sensitive to the things that you lead me in and speak to me about. Okay, time's going, so let me move on to my third point. My third point is, God is so near. God is so near. Did you know that? Sometimes we can treat God as if he's just here on Sundays or he's far off. But you know, he's so near and he's everywhere and everything. I'm a fairly busy man, not because I have a lot on my plate, although I do have a fair amount on my plate, but because I like being busy. Do you know what I mean? I'm so busy. You know, I just put an appearance of busyness. I don't have to be this busy. I like being busy. I like to-do lists. I like full agendas. I like having fingers in pies and all that kind of stuff. I like being busy. And it means that I'm someone who doesn't often choose the quiet place and solitude with God. I know it's right and I've developed the good habits of it, but having 6 weeks to do it and in a helmet where it's quiet and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? Actually, just to get some time away and solitude has been the most wonderful thing. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. When you're busy running around doing things like the story of Mary and Martha, actually you're missing out on the better. Sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him. As much as I could sit down, quiet myself and do it. It was good. Do you know, I sabbaticaled quite badly on the first day. I got home, being away for the day, got home, and we were getting ready for bed. And I was like, you're going to bed? I was like, well, I've just got a few more things to sort out before I go. I've got to finish this chapter. That she's like, you are doing this really badly. You are failing at sabbaticaling. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, you're meant to be resting. How have you got a list? Why? How is staying up to midnight going to help you? I was like, yeah, you're right. I had to go back through my whole plan. I had like how many books I was going to read every week, how much of the Bible, how many letters I was going to write, how many people I was going to see. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I've got to make the most of this 6 weeks. And I was like, you're totally missing the point. I've got a gracious wife. She's so good. I just went back to the drawing board. I said, you know what, God, I just go at your pace. I just slow it right down. I read less than half the books I wanted to read. I wrote less than half the letters that I wanted to write. I saw less than half the people I wanted to see. There's some places I didn't go that I wanted to go to because I just thought, actually, I'm just going to slow down and be with God. And it's been so good. And I'm hoping it's going to be a blessing for you. So as a site, we're going to slow down a little bit. But in a good way. There's more for us to do. And there's always going to be more for us to do.
Quality, not quantity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Quality, not quantity. Amen. So we're going to take steps in God. And we're talking with a lot as a church man about going to a different gear, about greater capacity. That when you're in a higher, if you go from third to fourth, we're going to talk about, actually, when you go to fourth gear, you're putting less energy in, but you're going further. I believe just taking a step back, understanding that God is so near, so with us. He's building his church. Actually, we can be less frantic, but we actually must do more and see more and be more fruitful. And I've read a bunch of books while I was away still. I've read some novels. I've read a book by Guy Martin about motorcycles. And I read some... I avoided Leadership Church building books. I thought I wouldn't be helpful. But I read some great books about just what it is to know God's love. And I read a beautiful book, this book actually, called The Ragamuffin Gospel. Have you read this book? This is a great book. It's by a Catholic priest. And it's about the fact that the gospel is for anyone and everyone. It's for the vagabonds and the ruffians, the ragamuffins, the losers, the outcasts. It's for all of us. And it's just wonderful. And there's a couple of chapters that were great. One of them was about being still, quiet, being quiet, slowing down. And there's one about just seeing the fact that God is everywhere. And the fact that in our kind of world, we often separate wrongly the spiritual things and the physical things. Do you know what? Everything God gives us is a blessing. Every blessing we have is an excuse to thank and praise God and see him in the everything. And there's this one passage that some of you would have already heard, because I've read it in a couple of other settings, that I wanted to read to you about this, and about enjoying God and seeing him in everything. This is what it says. Our world is saturated with grace, and the lurking presence of God is revealed not only in spirit, but in matter. In a deer leaping across a meadow, in the flight of an eagle, in fire and water, in a rainbow after a summer storm, in a gentle doe streaking through a forest, in Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, in a child licking a chocolate ice cream cone, in a woman with windblown hair. God intended us to discover his loving presence in the world around us. For several centuries, the Celtic Church of Ireland was spared the Greek dualism of matter and spirit. They regarded the world with a clear vision of faith. When a young Celtic monk saw his cat catch a salmon swimming in shallow water, he cried, "The power of the Lord is in the paw of the cat." The Celtic chronicles tell of the wandering sailing monks of the Atlantic, seeing the angels of God and hearing their songs as they rose and fell over the Western Islands. To the scientific person, there were only gulls and gannets, puffins, cormorants and kittiwakes. But the monks lived in a world in which everything was a word of God to them, in which the love of God was manifest to anyone with the least creative imagination. How else, they wondered, would God speak to them? They cherished the scriptures, but they also cherished God's ongoing revelation in his world of grace. Nature breaks through the eyes of a cat, they said. For the eyes of faith, every created thing manifests the grace and presence of Abba. As we slow down and we look at the world, we see actually God is so near and he's in everything. Not in some kind of Buddhist meditative thing. He's not actually in it, but he created everything. And as we enjoy that, actually, we enjoy God. You know what? I enjoyed my motorcycle. I enjoyed open roads. I enjoyed amazing mountains and lakes and scenery. We've all done that at times. I've been taken aback. Wow, that's amazing. I enjoyed the most horrendous side winds on the French roads where I was praying like I've never prayed before. I enjoyed good food. I enjoyed my family. I enjoyed a football match in Barcelona, which was amazing. Tens of thousands of people all chanting. It was quite something. I brought a joy being with God's people in Spanish, not Rennes, that was going on, but just knowing actually that I love Jesus. I love Jesus. What a great place to be. I enjoyed good food. And I just began to appreciate God in different things, in ways that I wouldn't normally, if you know me as a person. And I was particularly struck when the day I read this, after I finished this chapter and put it down, I was brought a cup of tea in a cafe. And as I took the tea bag out, I put the milk in. I just watched the milk swirl around in the tea. I was like, that's really beautiful. I'm not a guy who takes time. I'm like, stir it, get on it. Do you know what I mean? I was like, actually, wow, God, the way you make things swirl and the randomness, I can't really create that, God. You made that. You made how the waters do. And then I walked along by the side of the ocean. I was like, oh, that's just a cup. Look, God, what must you be doing out there in the swirl of the sea? And I was like, God, you are wonderful and big and magnificent. I'm so small, but there's so much for me to enjoy of you. And since then, I've been just enjoying things, just taking time to look at things and think, what is it in this that I can enjoy? I have loved, slightly obsessed about the I-360 going up and the way they've done it, you know, how they've lifted a section and put another section in. I'm not sure whether a pipe in the sky is going to be the best thing for Brighton when it's finished, but I've loved the cranes and the bigness. No, I was like, this is great. I was like, God, this is amazing. I was like, but it's so tiny compared to you. Look what you've look at the creativity and the ingenuity you've given man, but you are greater. I've enjoyed watching my daughter, who is 7 months old, rub her eyes when she gets tired. No one's taught her to do this, but she just rubs them perfectly. She's like, oh, it's time for bed, Dad. I've loved it. I love the largest of the mountains, the open roads. There was one river in Florence one night. It was so still. It was unbelievable. I was like, it literally looks like a mirror. We've got a picture where you cannot tell where above it, which is the river. You can turn the phone upside down because it's so perfectly reflecting what's above it. It was just so still. I just thought, God, that's amazing. How does that happen? I even watched Power Rangers this week. I was just struck by the gospel in the end of it. And I literally was like, no, I'm having a moment. She's like, what's your moment? It's like, just the way that that guy's apologized to that girl and just honored her. I was like, that's just the gospel at work. She's like, Power Rangers, are you serious? He's like, babe, I can't switch you off. It's just great. I just love seeing it. Let me encourage you, be still. And that God is in everything and everywhere for us to behold him. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. Let me encourage you. Go and find people's journeys. You must be here because there's someone you know. Well, ask them, why is it you became to Jesus? What's your story? What can I learn about your journey? If you're not a Christian here this morning, I want you to know that God is more concerned about your heart than about the things you do or don't do. Those things come second. God wants to know you and your heart, and he wants to save you and deal with your sin. That's the first thing he wants to deal with. He will deal with your stuff as well, your actions and what you do, but he wants your heart first. And let me encourage you, look around you. The Bible says no one's got an excuse to say that I'm not real. I've given you creation and everything in it to point to me. There is a creator. I'll ask Andy and Mary to come up. We're going to begin to worship again in a moment. Why don't we stand? I'd love to pray for us.
Well done, Stephen.
Thanks. Father, I'm just so grateful for time with you. Lord God, thank you for this blessed people just releasing me for that time, Lord God. Thank you for just the great blessings being to me and my family, Lord God. And I just want to pray that some of this might be a blessing in this particular message, but Lord, in the weeks and months that come, as we just work out some of the other stuff you've spoken to me about as I've been in other places, Lord God. I just want to pray for your word, just to land in hearts this morning. I just pray for just different ones to have heard something that's helped them, encouraged them, maybe provoke them, Lord God. But I pray, Lord Jesus, we want to see more of you, Lord God, whether we've walked with you for many years. Lord God, thank you for this. I just pray you just turn the volume up on some of these things for some of us, Lord. Pray we just become quiet in the busyness of life, Lord God, but other distractions, Lord. I just pray your grace might just impact our hearts again, Lord God. Your love for us might just impact our hearts again, Lord God. I pray, help us to be a community just full of love and honouring, Lord God, those of us who just walk closely to the Spirit, Lord God. Thank you that prayer and walking with the Spirit is not reserved just for our prayer team, Lord God, and for those who reach a particular spiritual high, Lord God. Thank you, it's for all of us. Every single believer, Lord God, can know more of you. And I just pray we know more of that in this coming week and in this coming season. Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.